Hello and welcome to the Online Business for Black Women podcast. I'm Keisha White, brand strategist for new coaches, consultants, and service providers. And I created this podcast for Black women who aspire to start profitable businesses online. Here we share transparent stories of overcoming the challenges that come with building an online business, along with actionable strategies that you can implement in a business of your own. To get started, download my free guide on the 5 easy steps to attract more high-paying clients in the show notes. So let's dive into the episode. Okay. Hello, everyone. It is Keisha here, and I am here for another episode with Danielle Adams, who is a productivity expert with her company, Divine Inspirations. So thank you for joining me, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, excited to have you. So perfect. So tell everyone a little bit about your business and what you do for your clients.
Of course. So, hey, everyone, I'm Danielle. And as Keisha stated, I'm a productivity expert. Essentially, I just help you achieve your business goals, work less and make more so that you can spend time with your family and do things that make you happy. I really believe that life is meant to be lived and life is meant to be enjoyed. And so my goal is to help you organize your life and your time so that you can go out and live a life that you enjoy.
I love it. Yes, because I feel like people a lot of times undervalue the power that being organized can have in using the right systems. So, yeah, so that's a great, great skill set to offer people. So good. So to rewind, I like to always ask people, like, where are they from and kind of like, how did they grow up? And like, what type of child were you growing up? Were you like that studious one, or were you like selling the Girl Scout cookies young? Or
oh my goodness. So I am from Oklahoma. I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life. My parents, grandparents, me, everyone, we all live in Oklahoma. So I'm an Okie at heart. I was a super studious child. I played the piano and I danced growing up. And I just really loved, you know, learning. And I still love learning. And so I went to college in Oklahoma. I went to Johns Hopkins for my master's. I was valedictorian in high school. But everything about me and my life is rooted in Oklahoma.
Very nice. Nice. So were there any entrepreneurs around at all when you were growing up, or was it something kind of like new for your family when you decided to start a business?
You know, entrepreneurship, I'm sure it was there, but it was like never anything that I just thought like, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur when I grew up. Mm-hmm. Like when I grew up or when I was growing up, I thought, man, I want to be a pediatrician. I always wanted to be a pediatrician. I wanted to be a physician and help children stay healthy. And then when I went to college, I actually started doing pageants. And as you know, Miss Black Oklahoma USA, 2013, I had a platform which was impacting today's youth through positive mentorship, which really shifted me and pivoted me into like teaching and education and that whole world. And so that's how I got into the education realm. But I never had an idea of like, man, I want to be an entrepreneur when I wake up.
I see. So tell me a little bit about college then. Did you end up majoring in the medical field in college, or did you end up doing something else and going a different direction?
So I have 2 degrees. My bachelor's degree is from the best university in the whole wide world, the University of Oklahoma. Go Sooners. <We're> Sooners. And my master's degree is from Johns Hopkins University. So my bachelor's degree is in health and exercise science, and my focus was pre-medicine. And then my master's degree is in educational leadership from Johns Hopkins University. So I have both, to answer your question.
Okay. So perfect. So tell me about, I guess, how did you end up, I guess, in the 9-to-5 world? So I know you're still currently working in your 9-to-5 now. So are you working in that field right now too?
Right.
Exercise science too? Okay.
Right. I'm a teacher right now. I'm a teacher. I teach second grade, and I love it. And I've done that for 7 years. Mm-hmm. How I got into the operations field is as a teacher and just doing like all the planning and operations that it requires, like run a school. I would during the summers, I would be what's called like a operations manager for different school sites. And I really found that I love like project management and like doing the ops plans for schools and businesses and just plays and productions and just all of the things. And so I was like, man, people are asking me to do this all the time. I'm really loving doing this all of the time. Let's make a business out of it. And I took a step and I haven't looked back since.
That's so good. That's good. Because I always feel like a lot of times people have those strengths and those skill sets that come naturally to them in their day jobs. And then they kind of end up overlooking it, thinking like, oh, this must be easy to everyone. But no, it's easy to you. And then to other people, you're an asset to them when you offer that skill to them. So good that you recognize that there. So perfect. So tell me, I guess, about the early days of like when you first started turning that skill set into like a business. Were you trying to like market yourself, or did you just kind of do it for people you knew just to get a few examples under your belt? Like, how'd you get started there?
So initially, I've literally been doing this for 10 years, like a long time. And it was never like an entrepreneurship type thing at first. It was just, hey, this makes me happy. Hey, I really enjoy this. Let me plan your party. Let me plan your life. Let me just help you. And then after I had my son in 2018, I was like, man, I would really like to be home with him. I would really like to, you know, turn, you know, I call it my passion and my purpose colliding. I would really like to take my passion for organization and like the purpose I feel like I have with my family and everything and make them collide. And so in 2019, I like just took the step and I started an official business and I began to market myself and telling people like, hey, I offer project management services. Hey, I offer coaching, productivity coaching. And then the people came and the business started. And like I said, I hadn't looked back. It's really been like super, super amazing to see how much the Lord has blessed my business in only a year.
I know. That's really nice. Yeah, because I thought you had been doing it for longer than that. So yeah, you definitely have made a good amount of progress in a year that quick. So perfect. So I guess as far as turning it into a business, sometimes when people decide to start charging for their expertise, they may feel a little bit of like imposter syndrome sometimes. Like maybe who am I to be charging people X amount to do something that I just kind of enjoy anyway? So did you ever experience any of that? And if so, like, how did you overcome that?
Oh, most definitely. Remember, I've been doing it for like all these years. And so all those years, I never charged. I just did it from a place of happiness and joy in my heart. So when it was time to charge, I was like, well, I don't think I should charge much. But then I would see like the result that people would get from my services. And then sometimes you're like, well, man, I should have charged more. They're experiencing this amazing breakthrough and I didn't even charge. So how I got through imposter syndrome was like really just affirming myself and like validating myself. I would talk to, you know, my dad and he would just help me work through that. Like you have won the credentials. Like if you look at your resume, look at what you have earned, look at what you've invested. And then once you look at what you've invested, look at the result and the transformation that you provide. People should invest in you just like you've invested in yourself. And so I would just keep telling myself that, believe in that. And then eventually, you know, I believed it.
Yes, I love it. I love it because it all starts with how you think in your mind about yourself and what you do. So like you said, reminding yourself of those credentials and looking at the results, you're like, yeah, this is definitely worth the money.
Right.
So good. So I guess tell me about how you, I guess, go into your, I would say, let's maybe do client processes kind of like. So did you end up going with a certain niche of people that you work with? And how'd you end up, I guess, figuring out who you really wanted to work with as clients once you took it to the professional level? And then how has it been like kind of coming up with a nice client flow and process to make your life easier as the service provider?
Oh, that's a great question. So at first I took anybody who would come. I was like, you want a service? Come to me. I will help you. And I quickly found out that that was like the most terrible idea ever. So I stopped. Then I started to do a little market research and I noticed like, well, who's coming to me? Like, what are some commonalities that they have? Those types of things. And I began to notice that the people that were coming were people who were severely overwhelmed. Yes, they were successful in their careers. Yes, they may have had a team. They may have even been having 6 or 7 figure years, but they were severely unorganized and underproductive, and thus they were unable to achieve their goals. So as a person, they felt like, man, I'm not able to get where I want to be in life because I'm not using my time wisely. And that just came with, you know, like I said, market research and practicing and just really narrowing in on what I loved and the result I like to see my clients, you know, achieve.
Yes, very nice. I feel like we all start that way, just kind of like a free-for-all, like anybody who wants what I have to sell, come here. And right. Then you kind of hone in. Mm-hmm, exactly. You got to hone in later. So how'd you, I guess, get like a nice client process together? Because I know a lot of times with the service-based business, your client process helps you to be more successful. And then it helps give people a better experience. And it also makes your life easier when you have a streamlined process. So how'd you work to like develop that as you started your business out?
Oh, I was my first client. So like once I really figured out like, hey, this is who I want to serve. I'm like, hey, that used to be me. I was this person. I was overwhelmed. I have a 9-to-5. I have a husband. I have a 1-year-old. I volunteer in my church. I'm a musician. I mean, should I keep going?
Just live. Just always like, away.
Exactly. I'm this person. So how can I change it? So I started like doing the processes on myself and like what worked, what didn't work. And like, what would I like to, if I was onboarded, what would I like the experience to feel like? My onboarding experience, my offboarding experience, even the experience throughout my program, how would I like to feel? And then what would serve me best where I was? So of course, everything's automated, everything's streamlined, everything is specific, but the key point in my business is to automate the process, but still individualize the process.
I love it. Very good. Because yeah, I feel like sometimes people discount things that they do for themselves, thinking they have to have this tested on somebody else. But it's like, you're always your first guinea pig or like success story. So it's like, yeah, if you have yourself as the example, then you definitely still have a good solid point to start on. So perfect. So tell me, how do you balance all of that? Because I know there may be some other like moms listening and people who are married with trying to have the day job going and still doing great at your day job and doing great at your business. So what would be like your top maybe like 2 or 3 strategies that have helped you balance it all and just keep things afloat properly?
Okay, yeah, definitely prioritize. So like, everything doesn't have to be done and everything is not urgent. And like just internalizing that and allowing that to resonate within your heart. Like, yes, these things need to be done, but they're not urgent right now. And I don't have to do everything by myself. Planning ahead. So like for mamas, like the lunches, the dinners, laying the clothes out, writing a schedule, all of those things. Planning ahead will really, really help with that. And then I use my village. So I don't do any of this by myself. There's no way I could have a successful business and a successful home and a successful career doing it by myself. So I leverage my community. I leverage my parents. I leverage my husband. I leverage my church community. Like it takes a village. It really does take a village. And when you learn to use your resources to help you, that really, I feel like that's really what has propelled my growth. And also like boundaries. So like, I know like in my business, I want to work 20 hours or less per week and I want to hit this income number. So if it doesn't align with that, alignment is huge. If it doesn't align with that and it's outside of my boundaries, then I have to say no.
I love that because I feel like a lot of times women are so afraid to like ask for help almost. So not being afraid to ask for help and then knowing what your income goals are and the amount of time, that's so smart to have that planned out. Yeah. Yeah. That's that organization coming out there. Yes. So perfect. So what would you say has been like maybe one of your biggest challenges with building and growing this business over the last year? And how did you overcome that?
Oh, that's another good, we have all the great questions. My biggest challenge over that year, I think my biggest challenge initially was, I think it was mindset. I think it was believing that it was possible. I remember when I first started, I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to do this. But I think that it's so hard to start a business and work a full-time job and be a mom and a wife and the list goes on. But that was my thoughts telling me that. But that wasn't the reality of the situation. The reality was that I just needed to create an organized, structured schedule that prioritized what I needed to do, when I needed to do it, and how I needed to do it to achieve my goals. And once I did that and believed like, hey, I can have a successful business and a successful career while maintaining a stable home environment, and I shifted my beliefs to like, this is possible versus it's hard, that's where I really started to see growth in my business.
I love it. I love it. Yes, because once you're intentional with your time and your planning, then it's pretty much anything you want to do is possible at that point.
Right. And just believing that it's possible. I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we get so caught up in our thoughts of like things that are not really reality. They're just thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so just redirecting those thoughts into your preferred reality. Where is it that you want to go? Where is it that you want to be? And like shifting those thoughts to align with that. And anything that doesn't align with that, sometimes you have to say no or put it down. But I know specifically that I am here because I've said no, because I've shifted and I've stayed aligned with those end state goals.
Perfect. Very good. So tell me, I guess, when we are growing and building our businesses, a lot of times we do things that are like scary, like maybe making like big investments in coaching or like hiring your first person to help you, or I don't know, making your first video. Sometimes a lot of different things can maybe scare us in business. So what's been like a big fear that you've had to like push through to overcome so you could continue building things to that next level?
Oh, everything that you just said. I think all of it. I think my first one when I was first getting started was the fear of investing, thinking that, oh, my business hasn't generated any money. So because I haven't generated any funds, I'm unable to invest to better myself. And again, it all starts in your mind. That's a limiting belief. Like, that's not true. Just because your business hasn't generated any funds doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to find funds to invest in yourself. I believe when you pour into yourself and you pour into your craft, that only makes your craft better, and you go out and do the work, the clients will come. But sometimes you don't know what you don't know, so you stay stuck and you end up in that same position at the same time the next year because you didn't take, you know, the next best step. Like, we don't always know where it is that we want to go, but we can often decide for the next best step. And for me, when I first started, the next best step was just investing in help. And that help truly changed like the trajectory of my business.
Mm-hmm. Totally feel the same way. Because last year was my first full-time year. And I went ahead and invested in like the most expensive program ever in that first year full-time. So even though it was making some money, it wasn't still making like this huge amount of money yet. But I was like, well, if I invest early, then hopefully I can learn, you know, shorten your learning curve faster. So it's always the smarter way to go, for sure. So what would you say have been like your top three strategies that have helped you the most in like growing your business and getting it to the point where it is right now today?
Ooh, the top three strategies. I would say number one, like just self-belief. Number two, visibility. And number three, asking for the sale. So number one, I say believing. So like just the whole mindset, like, hey, this business is possible, like let's do it. And then just like being visible. So like a lot of times people have businesses, but like no one ever knows because they don't show up online. They don't send their people emails. They don't speak at conferences. They just have a business inside of their home. So that doesn't help. But like you have to tell people about it and get visible. And then I would say asking for the sale. So a lot of times I would show up, I would be visible, but I wouldn't offer the sale. People want to buy what you offer. They just need to be invited and welcomed to the opportunity. So I would say those three strategies have really helped me. My thinking, being visible and asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that visibility piece is huge. Because like I said, if people don't know,
I mean, there's something that's they can't help you. Yeah. And then when you ask, they're like, what? Who? What? You? What? Girl?
It's like, what do you sell? We don't know. Like, nobody actually knows. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a huge point. And sometimes I think people, they kind of hide and don't get as visible because they're maybe scared to put themselves out there. So did you ever have any of that? Or were you kind of like, just like, oh, I'm good. I know I need clients. So I'm just going to put myself out there and I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yes, I was afraid. I was like, my first thing was the website. It literally took me probably like 6 months to do my website. Why? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I didn't have that much stuff to put on there. I was just like fearful. And so I finally, you know, told myself done is better than perfect. I put it out. And was it like not the best? Of course. But did I finish the task? Did it tell people what I did, where to buy, give them a link, all the good stuff? Yes. So I just started to take imperfect action. And then I came and I like fixed it up as I learned. But I learned that it's better to take imperfect action, or that done is better than perfect, than to just sit still and keep thinking about all of the things that you want to do. Because thinking doesn't produce results. But taking those small steps and that action is how you generate results within your business.
Very, very true. Because definitely nothing will necessarily be perfect, especially when it's new and you're just constantly refining and learning as you go. So yeah, definitely super smart to just keep it moving.
That's what I do. And you know, you may mess up and that's okay. You just fail forward. You fail forward, you fall down, you get up, shake it off and keep moving. Like when you think of all the greats in the world, when you think of people who you look up to in the entrepreneurial world, do they get it right all the time? No, they didn't. But the one thing that they didn't do is they didn't stop moving. They kept moving towards their goals. And so when it gets hard, I just remind myself, like, you know, dust it off, sis, and keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. Because I always think of it as like when people, the only way you can really, I guess, quote unquote, fail is if you just quit, you just stop.
Right.
And so as long as you don't stop.
Easier, but, you know, easy isn't always best.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to keep your eyes on that ultimate goal that you have for yourself. So good, good. So I guess what would you say would be like some of your, since you're an organization expert, I know it's a lot of people who probably could use some tips in that area who may be juggling a lot. So what would you say, recommend for like top organization strategies, if it's especially for people who are juggling a business with a 9-to-5 and they kind of are stressed about time, like what would be your top 3 strategies for them to get it together?
Okay, that's a good one. So number one, I always recommend a brain dump. So like anything that's in your head, you've got to get it out. So like if you have tasks to do, if you have ideas that you want to make happen, whatever it is, get it out of your head so that you at least know like these are the things that I need to do. After you do your brain dump, I always recommend a good fit schedule. And I call it a good fit schedule because I don't create any 2 schedules that are the same. People value different things. Some people want to work a lot. Some people want to work less than 20 hours a week. Some people want to spend time with their kids or go to events. Whatever you value is what your schedule should be made around. And so I feel like that's super important. So you brains up, you create a schedule, and then you make a plan. So a lot of times we set these big goals in life and we're like, man, I really want to make 6 figures or whatever the case may be, but there's never a plan to actually achieve that goal. And that's one of the things that I like to focus on within my programs. It's like creating a good fit schedule that supports the life that you love, but also helps you accomplish those goals so that you're not stagnant. So if I had to say 3 strategies, I would say, you know, do a brain dump and then make a schedule and then plan it out.
I love that because I feel like a lot of times people kind of get absorbed online and looking at how other people live or like how other people work, like I guess Gary Vee's work style versus somebody else. Right. And that may not be like what makes you feel good about the way you want to work. So kind of creating your own custom plan is definitely a good starting point. So perfect. So as far as trying to think, what other questions have I missed? So what would you say would be your advice to like a new entrepreneur who's still maybe trying to find their way and maybe figure out what skill set should they even turn into a business? What would like be your advice to someone in that new space?
Well, I would think about a few things. I would think about what is your skill set and how do you like to serve people? And how can you, you know, merge your skill with your service in order to create like a profitable revenue for yourself? So I would think about, you know, things that make you happy, things that you love to do, and just really to spend time, you know, thinking, writing, praying before you step out into the entrepreneurial world. I think a lot of times we just take steps because we think it's the next best thing. But when you take time to intentionally plan, again, this is the planner coming out in me. I just think those steps are just so much more strategic and timely as an entrepreneur. Just really get clear on who it is you want to serve, what problems do they have, and then like, how are you going to fix that problem?
Yes, very, very solid advice, because sometimes I see people when they are new, they get caught up in like, you know, like the passion, like I love doing this, but then they forget that with the business, you have to be solving some kind of problem with right. The passion if you want to make money off of it, unless you just want to do a fun hobby. But
which is exactly why I said skill set and not passion. Sometimes my skill is operations. My passion is music, but I'm not teaching music.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like my passion. I kind of like cooking, but I'm not about to be cooking for nobody. So
I mean,
to myself.
I always look on your Instagram and I'm like, man, that looks good. But I mean, in my head, if I could go on like American Idol, The Voice, like all of those shows, like that's what I would really do. But then I look in the mirror and I tell myself, like, you know, girl, you know that it's not your lane. So I have to go back over here and get people's lives in order.
Using that strong skill set that there's a problem
it's
to solve
my
it.
Passion.
Yeah, you can sing in the church at home in the choir.
So
perfect. And I guess one more organization question I thought about. So what would be like your top tools? Because I know there's so many different tools out there that people can use. And then when people are starting out, they're kind of overwhelmed with all the possible things you could pick for project management or email or CRM and all that type of stuff. So what would be like your top three tools for like a service-based business to use to go out there and to acquire clients and stay organized while they do it?
Okay. So you of course need an automated scheduler. So like you don't need people emailing you, DMing you, saying, you know, when can we meet next? Like,
they need
an automated scheduler, Acuity, Calendly, Dubsado scheduler, any of the like would be good for that. I'd also recommend some type of project management tool. So that's your Trello's, your ClickUp, your Asana, Teamwork, Monday. The options are endless, but something where you can like put down what your tasks are and when you are going to do them and if they've been completed. And then the last thing I would do is I would look up some type of like automated CRM, as in like a Dubsado or a HoneyBook, so that when your potential client, when the lead hits your information, when they hit your lead capture, they're taken through a seamless onboarding process. So they can book you, they can be onboarded, they can be offboarded, but everything is just smooth and automated, because it takes too much time to sit behind the computer and literally type every email, welcome to the program. No, sis, it needs to just be automated and sent out. So I would say, you know, automated scheduler, project management tool, and some type of CRM.
Yes, very good. Yeah, I love my scheduler because I've been using Calendly for everything, and I love the reminders that pop up so people don't miss your appointments.
Exactly. And then,
stuff.
Of course, email is like the best, but I just assumed that was a given. But email has got to be in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Love that one, too. Yeah. All of these are good, because I'm like, even with the project management, too, like with me doing design work, there's no way I would juggle different clients without Asana.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be like, what step am I on with so-and-so? I'm confused.
Or notepads, you know, people write it down and then the water spills, the dog eats it, and then everything's gone. You're like, well, what do I do next? And I'm like, well, sis, sir, if you would have wrote it in the project management tool, we would know what's coming up next.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and then it even is helpful too on the client side. So when clients, I don't have clients like messaging me talking about what's going on next, like they can answer their own question of like what's going to happen next just by checking Asana. So it's like,
absolutely,
you see the whole steps right there, no questions.
Exactly. But that's all about having strong systems. That's why when you use a project management tool, you know, it's important to have it outlined appropriately, not just, you know, have an account, but to actually maximize the account.
Oh yeah, mapping out all their steps. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So perfect. So I guess, do you have any other advice for any new entrepreneurs who may be kind of thinking about starting their idea, like any advice to have them just push themselves over that hump and to just go for it?
I would just say time, it never stops moving. It's always going forward. So whatever it is that your heart desires, I welcome and I encourage you to pursue it with all that you have. So sitting and thinking should shift to acting and doing, so that you can bring your dreams to your reality.
I love that. Yeah, that's definitely a quote. Now they're shifting and thinking should shift to acting and doing. I love that.
Oh, that's a quote. Okay, that's by Daniel Adams, guys. If you want to use it, just write my name.
I know. Yes, that's definitely a quotable. It needs to be up on a lot of our refrigerator right now. Like, let's not sit and think, let's act.
Yes.
Yeah. So perfect. So thank you so much, Danielle, for all of your expertise on how to maximize our time and stay organized and juggle all the various hats that people wear. So where can people find more from you if they want more organization strategies and just to follow along with your journey online?
Of course. Well, thank you for having me. And if you would like to follow along, and I would love to have you, you can follow me on Instagram at @_divineinspirations_. So that's _divineinspirations_.
Yay, so perfect. Well, sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Danielle, and definitely wishing you all the best as you continue growing your business.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, if you are ready to get started with building or growing your online business, download my free guide on the 5 easy steps to attract more high-paying clients in the show notes. I'll talk to you in the next episode.